pleasure again to be here this morning, and I'd like to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, some of the key verses in this chapter that relate to our topic today is verse 6, 13, and 19. Let me read those first before we read the entire chapter. Verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now in chapter 1, we find pronouns and possessive pronouns, you, us, we, ye, and your, 22 times. In this chapter, chapter 2, we find them 22 times again when we add the word our in verse 14. Another word that pops up frequently in here in chapter 2 is together. And it's woven through these verses in that the centrality of Christ pulls us together. And I suppose you're getting a sense of where I'm going. The title of this message is The Importance and Benefits of Christian Fellowship. Let's read chapter 2. And as I read, I want you to notice those words that are coming up. The us and the together and the we and the you. There's also the ye in there. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This passage, there is a direct connection between our relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ and our fellowship with fellow believers. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is a mirror to our relationship with the saints. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is sweet and is vibrant and is alive, you will find the same with fellow believers. If your relationship with Christ is broken, you will find a broken relationship with his people. And before Christ, we had fellowship. And it says here, it speaks here in Ephesians about our conversation used to be with the unfruitful works of darkness. Human beings, we have this saying, birds of a feather flock together. And so where your heart is where you will find people that think and do as you do. And it used to be, before we knew Christ, we had fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We walked with the world. We had our conversation with the children of wrath. And then in verse 4, the picture changes. It says, but God. When God enters our heart, when God enters the picture, things will change. And through God's love and through his mercy, he made us alive. It says he quickened us, which in our terms today would be he made us alive. And through his Holy Spirit, he drew us unto himself and made us aware of our deadness. He made us aware of the conversation that we had. He made us aware of where we were getting fellowship. And it wasn't fellowship that was conducive to honoring him and following him. And the Holy Spirit was faithful in showing us that condition. And so, because of his mercy, I am now alive. And it says here in verse 6 that he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That word together, that word us. God did that for our benefit. It brings glory to him. But God knows that we need to surround ourselves with like-minded believers, with like-minded people to give us strength and to help us through life. And so he made us sit together in heavenly places. And I don't know where you think those heavenly places are. But I firmly believe that those heavenly places is happening right now. That as we sit together, as we fellowship with fellow believers, as that love flows, and as the spirits connect with each other, there's something very heavenly about where we are when that happens. And it says, in Christ Jesus. Christ is the central figure. And he is the one that brings us together into this relationship and into this oneness. Another thing we see here is that when a person comes into fellowship with Jesus, he will automatically seek out God's people and want to be in fellowship with them. That will just be a natural when someone gives their heart to Jesus Christ. That would be the desire of that person, is to seek to find other believers. In verse 10, it tells us that we are created, we are his workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I believe that one of those good works is finding fellowship with other believers. That is one of the first fruits of a newborn Christian, is to seek out help, is to seek out fellowship, is to seek out people that can walk with them. And so I believe that's very, very real in that verse when it speaks about created unto good works and that we walk in them. Jesus also said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And so the people that we walk with tells us what kind of person we are. We will seek out fellowship with those that we are like-minded with. Fellowship is best exhibited in Acts chapter 2. And if you'd like to turn with me to that, I'd like to read what was happening there in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit fell onto the disciples, onto those people that were gathered in the upper room, and Peter preached this sermon, and it says that there was many people who came to the Lord. They heard the gospel, and they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And then it tells us, and it gives in verse 41, this is people that came to the Lord. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Those that received his word and had a living relationship with Jesus Christ came together. They came together in doctrine, in belief. They came together in practice. They came together in fellowship. And it said they had all things common. And what we can get from that is there was a transparency. There was an openness to each other. There was a give and take. There was a receiving. There was exhortation. There was encouragement. There was this receiving from each other. And I know it also says that they shared their bread, they shared their possessions. And in fellowship, that's what we do. In Galatians it says that we bear each other's burdens. And when we fellowship, we become united in Christ Jesus, and that's the unifying agent, but we become family. That's really what we become. There was mutual and shared interest. Fellowship is partnership, participation, and sharing. And the fellowship that we experience with fellow believers is not just to make life more pleasant or to provide interaction, casual interaction. It encompasses deep spiritual unity and active cooperation. There is a joint commitment to living out the truths of Scripture. And I want you to get that. There's a joint commitment. And that's where we help each other. Our understanding sometimes is we sit together. This morning we sat together in our Bible study, and everyone was giving their perspective of how they understood the Scriptures. And as we do that, we begin to understand Scripture in a better and a deeper way. Because we're interacting as we fellowship around God's Word. And you know, God gives us different perspectives in life through our experiences and through the things that we have read and received, and we understand things sometimes, and as we sit together we can come to a clearer and a better understanding of what God really wants us to do and how he wants us to understand things. Fellowship is physical. It is being in the presence of God's people. Everything common speaks of sharing our lives, our possessions, our time, and our experiences. And I think sometimes we maybe are a little bit lack in sharing our experiences with each other. Our lows and our highs. And I think as a brotherhood, that's a part of fellowship. We share with each other the victories that we've had. And we also share with you the defeats that we have, and we ask for prayer, we ask for help, and we expose our weaknesses, and our strengths are displayed. We have all things common, and we know each other in a very personal way. You know, human nature in its natural form is selfish. It's a you do you world. It's I see life in this context, I see it in this perspective, and let me push forward with what I know. I don't need your help. I don't need input from other people. That's naturally how we are. We look out for ourselves. And in Ephesians here, it goes on to say, and I'm going to maybe apply that just a little bit differently there, but it says in Christ Jesus, it says that wall of partition is broken down. I'm finding that verse again. In verse 14, he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. I'd like to see that wall as individualism and selfishness. And when our fellowship is, when Christ is central in our fellowship, that individualistic attitude gets broken down. And we begin seeing things in light of community. We see things in light of the kingdom of God and how we can advance the kingdom of God through our participation in fellowship and through our interaction with fellow believers. And as our lives are formed and molded through the community, that wall is broken down and we become, we are no more strangers and foreigners, we're fellow citizens, we're of the same house. And when you're the same household, you know each other well. There's if you're going to really know someone well, you see them in their own house. You're at home and you are who you are with your own family. You just don't, there's nothing hidden. My children know me probably better than I almost know myself. I can come to church and I can have a facade and I can wear nice clothes and I can be just nice. But when I'm at home, I'm who I am. And I should be that way in church too. I'm not making an excuse, but I'm just giving that as an example. But as we fellowship, we begin to know each other intimately. And that also means we become vulnerable. So it's to our hurt that we allow walls to come and we hide behind walls and shrubs and trees because we don't want people to really know who we are. But it's to our advantage, it's to the advantage of the kingdom of God, if we as God's people are open and honest with each other about how things are. We are of the same household, the same family. We just came back from visiting family and friends in Australia. And if you've ever been there, you know that Australians speak English with a British accent. You know, they don't drive their cars, they drive their cars, and when you're speaking with them and they're agreeing with you, they say, right, right, yeah, yeah. And you don't have supper, you have tea. And I found myself, after being there a few days, I sort of began sort of mimicking and taking on their accent. And the second family we visited, I asked them one evening, I said, so when are we having, what time are you expecting us to be here for tea? They says, oh, you call it tea? How would you find that? And it was a family we visited before. Every evening they said, we're going to have tea. And that was what they called their supper. And so what I'm saying is I began using their vernacular and their accent when I was with them. And as people of God, as we fellowship with each other, as we're a family, our speech and our accents sound like those that we're with. Peter, when he betrayed Jesus, was accused. He said, well, he wasn't accused. He was said that thy speech betrayeth thee. And so when we're of the same household, the same family, there's going to be similarities. People that know us in the community are going to be able to identify us as a family because we sound and we act and we seem like each other. You know, there's the place I love to be the most is with my family. And when there's a birthday party or there's some dinner planned and for some reason I can't make it, or my schedule conflicts with that schedule, I ask them, could you arrange the schedule differently so that I could be there? Because my heart is, I want to be there. Because I love to be in the presence of those I love. Do we find that same love as it relates to God's people? Do we love to be with God's people? And if you find that it's easy for you to be absent when the church family gathers for fellowship and worship, check your heart. Why is it easy for me to just skip out? The privilege and the opportunity we have to fellowship and to gain understanding and to experience love and to be able to give love is such a wonderful experience. And if we find ourselves that it's easy for us not to be present in those times, I think we need to see where we're at. And as you read through the book of Acts and the experience of the early church, you find no support at all for believers that withdrew from fellowship, who just wanted to be individualistic, I want to be associated, but I don't want to actually be an active member or an active part of it. There's no room for that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. You just don't see that. But rather you see a desire and eagerness to be where the saints are, to be with the fellow believers. There are times, and there have been individuals who have been forced to be absent from the fellowship. We think of Paul when he was imprisoned and he was locked away from church. He was locked away from fellowship. But as you read his writings, what does he say? He says, I greatly long to be with you. I desire to be with you. I long after you. The Apostle Paul, when he was banished to the island of Patmos, where were his thoughts on the Lord's Day? In my imagination, as he was sitting there all alone on that island, and he knew it was Sunday morning, he was thinking about the saints at Ephesus that were gathering to worship. And in that frame of mind, the Lord came to him in a very vivid way, showing him who he was. And then he gave him the revelation. But as you read through Revelation, you read about the bride of Christ. You read about the churches, the seven churches. And it's the whole way through that. But that's where John's thoughts were. And that's what was important. And continuing here in Ephesians 2, it's in this household that Jesus builds his church and grows it onto a holy temple in the Lord. He uses people. But he puts us together into a fellowship. And in that fellowship, he builds his holy temple. Have you ever considered the fact that fellowship here is a foretaste of heaven? I don't know what you imagine we're going to do in heaven. I know we're going to sing. We're going to fall before the throne. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. But think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Where was Lazarus? He was with Abraham. It gives me a little bit of a hint that not only will our activity just be working for Jesus, but we'll be in fellowship. We'll be interacting with each other as we worship the Lamb. And so I'd like to have you think about that fellowship on earth is a foretaste of fellowship in heaven. That fellowship here is preparing us for an eternity of fellowshipping with God and his people. And someone has said this, that, that fellowship here is practice for eternity. Take that for what it's worth. But if we don't have a heart for God's people here, I guess we think somehow that'll change when we get to heaven. The need for Christian fellowship cannot be overemphasized. It is an essential ingredient to a thriving faith. Again, it is one of the first fruits of a new believer. In 1 John chapter 1, we read about fellowship. 1 John 3, 3 to 7. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now notice that, that when we have fellowship, our joy increases. It's a joyful experience, full of joy. And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, it makes the point that fellowship with Jesus results in fellowship with each other. Proverbs 27, we have the verse, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Fellowship not only provides companionship, but it provides accountability, spiritual growth, and is a source of encouragement. We find support, and it makes our pain in life more bearable. This past week, Sadie and I attended the funeral of a mother, of a grandmother, a wife. And as we were in that setting, there was a church community that was surrounding this family. She had been diagnosed with a brain tumor about 3 months ago. And the testimony of the family was is that the church surrounded them, not only with prayers, but with presence and with gifts of love. They were surrounded by people that loved them. The fellowship of the saints, it makes life more bearable. It helps us in times of pain and distress, where we find that comfort. Also on Thursday, Rosalind's father had open heart surgery. And his church rallied around the family. They joined them in the waiting room. They prayed with them. Sat with them in the waiting room, waiting to hear that all was well. Finding comfort and strength in fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us this way, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke, to love, and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As the world continues to careen towards an end, and as evil abounds and as wickedness increases, it's important that we rally around each other, that we find full support, and that we dig in our heels, and we fellowship with believers because we need each other. And it's apparently, even back in Paul's day, there were those that were withdrawing from the fellowship. There were those that were being careless about fellowship. Because it says that there are some, it says that don't be like some others who are forsaking. But when you can, assemble. And the closer we come to the day of the Lord, the more we should be seeing the need for that. The more we should be coming together. Malachi 3, 16 to 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth him and him that serveth him not. I don't know we need to make a lot of comments about that verse, but it does appear like God is watching to see how much we value fellowship, to see how much we value time spent with those of his children. It says a book of remembrance is written. It reinforces the comments made earlier that fellowship with other believers is intrinsic to spiritual health, and it's a fruit that God is looking for. Now, I don't know how many of you noticed in our small groups the other evening, as we studied our book in chapter three, I guess it was. The Swiss brethren had an agreement. They had a brotherhood agreement, and we would call in our day a church standard. And here was one that was written down. I don't know if you noticed this. This was their agreement back in 1500s. The brothers and sisters should meet at least 3 or 4 times a week to exercise themselves in the teaching of Christ and his apostles, and heartily to exhort one another to remain faithful to the Lord as they have pledged. That was an agreement that they had among themselves that they would do this. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The scriptures I've read helps us to understand how much God values fellowship. And I don't know if you've thought of it in this way, but fellowship, being with fellow believers, is storing up treasures in heaven. If you've thought of that. But if God is keeping track, and he knows whether we value fellowship or we don't value fellowship, this is some of the treasures that we are building in heaven. But that treasure is not just an earthly value, but there's or a heavenly value, but there's a lot of earthly value in fellowship on earth. So you get it both ways. Why would we neglect to find fellowship? It is through fellowship that we practice forgiveness. We experience and share love. We learn to listen. We find strength. We find encouragement. It is in fellowship that we worship our God together. We pray together. We evangelize together. Truly, in this togetherness, is a foretaste of what's ahead of us, and that is heaven. Fellowship promotes and brings greater unity as we listen, and as we learn from each other, our understanding is increased. As we grow closer together, we grow closer to God. And despite our differences, we find common ground as we work together for God's kingdom. Fellowship enhances our love. It sharpens our focus as we unitedly follow our Lord. And sometimes we are more focused on the things that hurt, the things that divide us, than we are about the things that bring us together. And while we don't need to ignore that we have differences, let's not live in the light of those. Let's find the common ground. Let's unify, and let's fellowship on that which draws us together, and that is the work of Christ. Romans 15:5-7. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he closes that passage, or that these couple verses, with saying, wherefore, receive one another. Fellowship with each other. When we fellowship with each other, we're receiving one another. And it says, as Christ also has received us to the glory of God. Our fellowship is something, I'll just make this observation, that one of the highest degrees of God getting glory is when his people fellowship. That brings honor and glory to him to a high degree. Those of you that can, if you want to kneel, I will pray.